Prison Podcast.
The Present Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
Welcome back, Adam.
It's been a while.
Welcome back to my podcast.
He's trying to claim it's his, but it's actually mine.
Co-founder, you know, of the Present Podcast. How's Trix? I haven't seen you in a while now.
It's been a while.
It's been a month and a half since we last recorded one.
Yeah, we were, what was it, the golfing trip?
Mastermind retreat. Yeah,
it was pretty good. Learned some good things.
Yeah,
I've been good, you know, just chilling, kicking back for the Christmas. Good to meet up with a few friends. And
do you want to introduce the up and coming podcast and its content?
Yes, I will. So yeah, I think it's a pretty relevant topic for anyone. Can you guess? Anyone take a guess?
It'll be in the title of the
basically guest. It is so weird. We thought it would be a good idea to like look back on 2016 and see what we've learned. So the title is Lessons Learned in 2016, and then I guess.
Oh, you've decided the title already.
Yes,
editor in chief.
And I suppose a bit of a subtitle would be, what are our plans?
For
myself and Connor's plans for the 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lessons out of 2016 and actionable steps and goal setting tips for 2017.
Exactly. Perhaps. We always try to give you guys something to take away, not just to listen and consume information, but actually to be able to take something away from it.
Indeed. So, are you going to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll kick us off, I guess.
Lessons learned from Adam Collins for 2016. Give us one.
One, okay. So the structure I have is basically where I was last January until now. So I've been in three places, essentially. So college in Limerick from January to, I suppose, May. Then I went to Chicago in the J1. And then, I suppose, from then until now, I've been in Skull. So I'll pick the college one first. and I think this is probably the biggest one because I don't think you realize it until you're gone. So it's funny because I'm out of college, whereas you're not.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like, I suppose, me talking to you as well, not just the listeners.
That's the point of the podcast, yep. I guess.
Learn from each other. But it's basically making the most out of being in college, most out of your time. So you have to make the most out of your time here. Just, you know, going on J1s, I suppose being part of sports clubs and living with, I call it your second family, essentially. So it's, I heard someone say it recently that, you know,
I think your housemates. Your sport club for me would be your second family.
Really? Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, you're right. Mm. Or your housemates, you know, for me, the two are hand in hand. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
It's only dawned on me recently, but it's to make the most out of your time with them. It's you have to do shit together. Like, I think as a house, we only went out for like one meal, you know, like together,
right?
Like in the whole year, and it is something you remember. But you should actually try to just do shit together because it's so fun. Like even if it means. I don't think we ever sat down at the table together once, like all of us.
The kitchen table?
Yeah, not once.
Right, yeah.
For
like a meal or
exactly.
A cup of tea or something like that.
I think the only time we might have done that was like sitting, you know, just in front of the living room,
having cans
or something, yeah. I think the most important thing I learned was just making the most of your time with your housemates. And just not wishing you hear a lot of people saying, oh, can't wait to be done, can't wait to be done. I guarantee you, you will 100% miss it when it's gone. Mm. I know, like, just there's just there's a small saying, I guess, that I learned from, it was like a Navy SEAL. He was on a video, and right. He was just saying, embrace the suck. So it's essentially, there's good parts and bad parts to college. And the bad parts, obviously, you know, doing study and all that shit. You know, studying for exams, going to the library. And it's just when things feel like they're going really hard, just to embrace it and just to keep going. And this ties in with, I guess, I was watching a Pat Davidi video last night, and he was just saying that, I think he was training for a marathon or something, and yeah. He's just completely focused on running the marathon. Whereas his coach was saying, you know, be in the dance. So it's essentially to enjoy the journey and yeah. Not just be focused on getting your piece of paper at the end of college or, you know, just finishing college. You should learn to enjoy the journey just as much as, you know, achieving the...
I think it's incredibly easy to actually focus on the good parts and then not get the enjoyment out of, because I mean it sounds counterintuitive, but there's actually enjoyment hidden within the bad parts.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the bad parts that then makes the good parts all the much better.
Yeah. that does make sense. No, I know what you're trying to say.
You know, it's enjoying the bad part in order to enjoy the good part.
Yeah.
Is the key. You know.
That's it. Yeah.
Now it's difficult, you know, because if you just have to sit and write some code, or you have to sit and write a big essay and stuff like that, you know, that's just a pain in the hole,
yeah. You
know, whereas, you know, but what, look from a bigger perspective, what can you take away from it? It's,
yeah. You
know, it's probably going to benefit you in some shape or form, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Good. And, yeah, so that's, I think, is that, yeah, I mean, I've just got, you know, just a few things as well. That I miss from it. So, just to hammer at home, I miss just having my own house. That's literally the biggest thing. You know, because I'm just staying at home now. I've been at home since September, and like, it's grand. You know, you don't have any rent to pay.
Yeah.
But like, you can't be having your own house. It's just, I don't know. You get that sense of independence, and you can just literally do whatever you want.
Yeah. That's something I'd say I take for granted now.
Yeah, 100%. I think, well, not say that you take it for granted 100%, but I think I was in the same boat. You know, I did take it for granted. We can't be talking like that.
Jeez, I'm fucking sweating that cup of tea. Jeez. Sorry.
And yeah, just literally small things like going to the stables, you know, like the student bar, you know, just, I have one fond memory, I think it was when we finished exams and all of our housemates went to the stables, and being the students we just packed our school bag with cans and just went out the back and didn't even pay for a pint the whole day. And we were just pouring cans underneath the table outside. And it was literally one of the best days I've ever had.
Nice.
You know, so just little moments
that's
like
some,
that.
That's a good quality of pikey drink.
Yeah, Limerick City kid. So yeah, that was pretty much my first one, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah. How about yourself?
Ooh, so my lessons learned from 2016. Numero uno. I think it'd have to be surround yourself with the right type of people.
Yeah.
2016 kind of for me has kind of been a big development year, personally, in terms of just understanding, you know, people and myself and kind of, you know, fourth and fifth year at university for me. So, you know, all the shit of like, you know, I understand what the concept of university is about now. So it's allowed me to do other shit, you know, and then kind of one of the big things is that I've understood is like just being with the correct type of people. You know, life's too short to spend it with shit people.
Yeah.
You know,
can you give us an example?
An example? How do you mean? An example of shit people?
So
or?
I guess like, have you demonstrated that you've chose like
chosen, yeah.
people that you were?
So I've essentially chosen two groups. So
okay.
I have a good group.
You can tell it's been a while since we've done a podcast.
A good group of friends,
mm-hmm.
and also having the right group of people to push you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, sometimes kind of those groups overlap a little bit, which is, you know, quite mm-hmm. fortunate. You know, that's quite yeah. a nice thing. But yeah. for others, it might not always overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading a book recently. The phone's going there, is it? Yep.
Jesus, sorry, listeners.
Jesus. Yeah, I was in the groove there, and yeah, you fucked it.
Had a group of friends that
oh, push so yeah, you and don't push. So it, yeah, overlap. So luckily that the group overlap, you know, with a good group of friends, followed by, you know, the people that might push you. And there we go. I was reading the fucking book. And sometimes it's about getting your enemies to push you, if that makes sense. So like, your enemies make your best. Like advisors and stuff, because they know your flaws and they know your strengths and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as your friends, they don't necessarily see your bad sides as much as your good sides, if that makes sense. So, yeah. You know, not necessarily enemy, but like who is challenging you. So, mm. You know, for me, it's been past competitors. Yeah. You know, they know my weaknesses. So it might be just even, you know, as hard as it may be, just sit down with those and actually have a chat with them. You know, like what do you need to work on?
Because
that is incredibly valuable. You know, that's like, speak to your mum, you're going to be the best.
Yeah, that's a lovely haircut.
Yeah.
Mum, I've been butchered.
It's the shittest haircut you've ever had. But she'll only see the good part of it, you know? Whereas if you've got a friend, you'd be like, geez, you know, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've got like a little bullet here, and it's just morals aligned. It's like having your morals aligned with your group of friends. So if you're all on the kind of same page, you're like morally, where... you started the video.
Yeah.
Jeez. Where your morals are aligned with the right type of people. So, you know, if you both like to go and do X thing, but more importantly, that you both kind of respect the same values.
Yeah.
You know, you challenge yourself the same ways. That having that kind of alignment of morals makes it easy, if that makes sense. So
yeah, it does.
If you think that guy's a cunt, then probably your friends are going to think that guy's a cunt too. You know?
I think that applies. I just started reading Pat Dave's new book, and he starts by talking about just how important values are, and that his values guide nearly every single decision he makes, and he thinks that like most people overlook it. So you have it for your business, and then you have it for, he was like, okay, if I have values for my business, I should have it for my personal life as well.
Yeah.
So some of the values that he had for his business were like gratitude, you know, sense of community.
Yeah, his business.
I can't think of the other ones, but, you know, if he got offered, you know, a prospect for a different job and it didn't align with that, he'd say no.
Mm.
He said it just made it easier for him to make decisions based on the values that he had in place.
So that's quite interesting, actually. Because essentially, you can just look at your values and say, right, is this going to impact positively? Then if it does, then it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Where if it's negative, then it's pretty much a no-brainer as well.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. So.
Yeah, and I think the sense of community he had was, you know, he loved to bring people together.
Yeah.
And I think one good example of that was him bringing a team of 500 to Tough Mudder. Like, how much more of a community can you have? You know.
You're just like part of it.
It was just a really good example, I think. You know, he brought 500 people together to do trainings together, to raise money together, and essentially do this, you know, this mud run.
That's good.
And then go out for meals and stuff after. So, yeah.
Yeah, that like sense of community.
Mm.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so surrounding yourself with the right type of people, isn't that? That's what you're saying. Cool. That's my numero uno.
Cool.
Do you want to delve into your numero
dos? My next one. So I think the next one I have is your network. So, okay, you heard that and you're probably thinking, oh my God, not this again.
Jesus.
But it's just a recent example of what happened to me. I came home one day and I had a wedding invite from one of my friends that I met in first year in college.
Okay.
And I was just like, you know, I saw this invite and it just kind of like, I was standing there and I pondered on it for a few minutes. I was like, it's pretty cool to have an invite. She's American, so, you know, she's getting married in May. And like, I have this invite to go over to America halfway across the world because I have ties in America, essentially, just from going to college. And I think, you know, I think people take that for granted as well. You know, staying the same kind of circle of people, not pushing themselves to, you know, go into different types of groups, different societies. And I think, I just thought it was, you know, it was pretty cool to have that. And, you know, if I ever go to America, like in that part of the world, I can get onto them. I'll have somewhere to stay.
Yeah, you have a cool place to crash.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're stuck. Yeah.
I just think that's pretty cool. You know, like how many people do you know?
Yeah.
That can do that.
It'd be quite an interesting exercise to actually sit down and be like, what countries can I go to?
Yeah, just that is, that'd be actually a really good idea.
Something a little different.
Yeah, so traveling for our wedding, you know, I think it's just American kind of tradition to get, you know, married. She's only 25, I think, if I'm right. You know, it's just kind of American tradition to do that. But I think I've only been to like one wedding in my life. So, you know, it's a pretty cool opportunity to have.
That's good.
Yeah, so I think that was my second one.
Expanding, enjoying your network.
Yeah, just like you said, you know, how many, if you sat down and looked at a map.
Yeah, how many?
How many countries could you go to?
Yeah.
And as well, I think it's not just saying that, oh, I know this person here. Like, do you know them well enough?
To actually get in touch. And,
just sit down. Like, it ties back to this, you know, you have 1,000 friends on Facebook. Great. Yeah. How many of them would you message and say, do you want to go for coffee? Do you want to go for a beer? And actually feel comfortable enough.
Yeah.
Down on their own. 10, 15?
Yeah. You're right, actually.
So, you know, like,
if that's literally less than doing a couple of percent, you know?
And when I was in Chicago as well for the summer, you were there. You know, they came down for a weekend.
I was there.
Unfortunately, you know. So they traveled from Texas, all my friends, from Pennsylvania, from Ohio, just to come down for a weekend, you know? So,
yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Your network it's key, isn't it?
Mm.
What I've realized recently is that a lot of my network now that I'm using is stuff that I've built like 5 or 6 years ago, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like it's only now that kind of network building back then is
kicking in.
Is giving its fruits, yeah. Mm. So like stuff I'm building now, I presume in another 5 or 6 years it should realistically be exponential. You know, the benefits should get more and more and more by having such a bigger and better and bolder network.
That's good.
Good. I like your number two lesson learned from Adam. For myself, number two, health is and should always be number one. So I'm going to elaborate on health a little bit because it's like so overrated and overly used and kind of bullshit term, so I'm going to break it down a wee bit.
Okay.
So in terms of health, I've kind of split it down into like mental health, in like through like meditation and stuff.
Yeah.
Sleep, you know, your kind of sleeping health.
Yeah.
Your hydration, your fitness, your diet, and you know your routines and morning stuff that kind of allows you to do all that because. You know, your health is what allows you to achieve everything else. So it's having all those things that I just mentioned in check that allows you to achieve other stuff. So if you think about it, if one of those, let's pick a random one, if your sleep is shit, you know, you're going to struggle to achieve anything else, you know, because you're tired for the rest of the day. If your diet's in shit, you're going to feel tired because, you know, your carb levels and your sugar levels and shit
aren't. Yeah, got no energy.
Yeah, you know, and I presume one for us that we've been using a lot more recently is like our mental health, like kind of, you know, through meditation and kind of clarity of mind.
Yeah.
I think that's one that me and you personally have been expanding a lot recently.
Mm.
And for me, I think it's reaped huge benefits when talking about university work, deep work, which is essentially, you know, stuff that is big picture and not little picture. You know, so having that kind of clarity and just freed mind. Is kind of one of the big things I learned recently. I think it's been recently now over the past 6 months, you know. I kind of realised the benefit a year ago, back at the beginning, but now where I've started to reap benefits has been within 6 months. And on that kind of clarity, my sleeping has got better because of that. So, you know, getting all the shit out of your mind. I think I told you about, you know, I've got a No, it's like a little sticky notes beside my bed. And you know when you're lying in bed and you've got like a really good idea swing to your mind or something like that. And you're kind of always concerned about forgetting that. So literally what I do is like flick on the lamp, scribble it down in the sticky pad, turn the lamp back off again. Then that way it's kind of removed from your head, so you're not going to be scared about forgetting it. Or, you know, if you've got to remember something the next day or something like that, then scribbling down there.
Yeah, I was definitely, I was meant to do this, but, you know, I have to admit, I haven't done it yet. I think it's setting up an environment that makes it easy for you to do things, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what essentially what you're doing. You have a system in place.
Yeah.
And I have my journal there, but, you know, it's closed. Mm-hmm. Little things like that can make all the difference. You know, you have a sticky note and literally you don't have to open a page. You can just literally jot down straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Can you remember like the last thing that like, sprung to your mind?
I think it was a chapter idea for a book that I've been thinking about writing.
Nice.
And I think it
seems like... I'm writing? Am I featuring?
Sorry.
Carry on.
Yeah, I think it was like this piece of gold that I scribbled down at night, and then I remember waking up and looking at it and be like, God, that was shit. That's how
like, just scrunched it up.
Yeah, threw it away. No, but at the time, I think, I can't remember what it was exactly. It's something, it could have been like breaking down the years or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So I've got it written
reeling
down
back the years.
Reeling back, yeah. But it's a good point what you brought up is like that mapping. And because I've just done this recently for like kind of my wrap up for 2016 was mapping out all the different aspects of my life. And when I mapped out this aspect, like kind of the health and, you know, I'm using that health holistically now in terms of like, you know, mental, mind, body,
working out, eating.
Yeah, all that stuff. That was one that I picked apart where I was at in each, you know.
Okay, so did you rate out of 10 or?
No, I wasn't rating out of 10. I was just saying what's good and bad, you know, or what's good and what needs improved, essentially. You know, because obviously there's bad stuff, like, but yeah, shit, like, you know, you gotta accept what you're doing and stuff. So, like, what your purpose is and where you're trying to go with each. So, like, maybe for listeners, it might be worth just mapping out your current health situation, you know, like on those topics I mentioned. And just referring back to systems, so morning routines, what we've bogged on about fucking every podcast
since day one.
How has your morning routine evolved since day one?
Is that a right question? Or is it just...
Yeah, it's a fucking question.
So, since day one. I think I don't leave my room without making my bed.
Yeah.
I'm hitting... on average 4 or 5 days a week, sometimes twice a day doing a meditation. So I've got
twice a day.
I pay for a subscription, and because I have this checklist, so it goes, it's a daily checklist, so I have it up in my wardrobe, so I just tick it as I go. So it starts with morning meditation, workout, read for 30 minutes, and then evening meditation. So I was hitting numbers. I was hitting good numbers, you know. I was 5 days out of 7. I'm doing a morning meditation. My bed is made. What else do I do? Oh, and now I'm just trying to get in the HIIT workout, pretty much. So
straight away.
Yeah, straight away. Okay. I did one this morning. Did one yesterday.
Nice.
And it's insane. Like you said, if there's what can you do today that makes everything else easier?
Yeah.
And I definitely think it is doing workout.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Because it puts you through, like, if you make it, I think it's important that you make it hard enough that it needs to push yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs to push you, the workout, in order for you to reap the benefits, I think.
Yeah, so more. It's like raising your heart rate a little bit more than normal.
Yeah, exactly. And,
yeah.
So, you know, for instance, I have like a pull-up bar, and I had a few exercises, and then one of them was to do weighted pull-ups just instead of normal ones.
I've got a challenge for you. Do you want to give a quick, very short HIIT workout for people listening who don't have any equipment but can do within 15 minutes?
Within 15 minutes.
Of waking up, if that makes sense, your room.
Yeah. So if you have a timer, you can get a timer on your iPhone. It's called Simple Interval Timer. It's really simple on the iPhone App Store. You can set the working seconds, the rest, and then how many sets you want. Okay. So if you're just starting out, I'd say do 3 rounds. Do 30 seconds on, 10 seconds in between. And do, we'll say 4 exercises. So the first one, we'll go push-ups, okay?
For
30
seconds.
Yeah. Then 10 seconds rest, and then we'll go into burpees. So burpees is literally just you jump, you go down to press up position, and you get back up, and you jump. You keep doing that.
Yeah.
So that's 2. Number 3, we'll do bicycles. So this is for abs. So you literally lie on your back, have your 2 legs raised about a foot off the ground, straight, and then go bring your left knee to your right elbow. Yeah. And then you're going to go back down and then do the opposite, if that makes sense. Left elbow to right knee. And then you'll finish off with squat jumps. Okay. These are not just normal squats. You got to jump. You got to jump as high as you can, and your legs will be burning after. Nice. So that's
So that's like, it's just a short time period as well. To, you know, that's 150 seconds per round.
Mm.
You know, times 3. You know, that's 450 seconds. Whatever that is. Which, you is know,
nothing like.
Yeah, it's not. It's
well, like 6, when you're working out, yeah, it is long.
Yeah, but imagine how, like you said, it's going to impact your day quite well.
Yeah, it does. It gets the juices flowing.
Yeah.
That's
a good morning routine. Nice.
Yeah. And as well for your mapping thing, I was watching a video as well. I keep ranting on about Pat Div, but he's got some really good stuff. He was just saying to rate where you are on a scale of 1 to 10 in each bucket, as you say, you know, each health, career, finance. So like, for instance, I rated my fitness out of 10, and I think it was looking like 6 or 7 or something.
Okay.
And then the question you ask yourself is, okay, what will bring me to an 8 from 7.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, you know, my workouts are good. I go 3 days a week, and I'm not eating enough, you know. Okay. You got to be honest with yourself. What will bring to an 8? I hit 4 sessions. That's all. That'll bring you to an 8, you know.
Yeah.
And then a 9 would just be eating enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's good.
So different way of looking at it, I guess.
Yeah, what? How do you get to the next level? How do you get that one extra point?
And it's such a simple question, you know.
I think I have to resonate a little bit with the whole mapping that I do each morning as well. It's more mind mapping, and like I think Tim Ferriss and Tools of Titans, if anybody's read it, he elaborates on the morning journal and stuff like that, which I find is incredibly difficult. So like my morning routine would be quite similar to yours. Wake up. I kickstart with a coffee though, because I can't function without it. So I literally, I know for all those people out there, like, oh, like you're addicted to caffeine, go fuck yourself. You know, I enjoy it. So
yeah,
quick cup of coffee. And
that
then,
was me a couple of, you remember, placements I used to give out to you about coffee.
I love it. You know? I just fucking love it.
So you're essentially saying fuck me, you know.
Yeah.
Wanna go?
Go fuck yourself.
I get what you're saying though.
I enjoy it more than, you know, I don't just enjoy it for the addiction, I enjoy the actual taste, you know.
Yeah. What kind of coffee do you go for?
I just get fresh beans, grind them up, and then use an AeroPress.
So do you order them online?
Yeah, order them. There's literally millions of coffee retailers that, you know, you go and order a bag of beans.
How long would it take to come?
Like 2 or 3 days posters. In our house in Loughborough, we fucking just rattle through beans.
Yeah.
Last year was even worse. I think we were going through like 4 or 5 kilos in a week.
Jeez.
Of coffee beans. Like, so it's ridiculous. But so I just love that whole process, because it kind of you wake up a wee bit, you know, once you make a cup of coffee and you start sipping and stuff. And then I spend like 10 minutes reading to kind of just further wake myself up. Mm-hmm. And then following that, I do kind of that morning journal thing where, you know, you write, you just spend like half a page of just like writing out just whatever shit's on your mind. You know, like there's a fucking bird in the sky like this.
Like, I've got this coursework.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've got this coursework that's really getting on my tits. Like, this is how I'm going to achieve it today. So I'm going to break it down in this little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And just writing those kind of worries and qualms and shit out on paper actually helps quite a lot.
That's cool.
And then just followed by like 10 minutes, 15 minutes meditation, I think actually really helps. Do you think we should debunk the myth of meditation? And people are thinking like,
that it's too airy-fairy.
Yeah, like there were like monks sitting dressed in like Tibetan robes.
Yeah, I'd say, we could do. Because
I mean, what does it mean to you? You know, like, I think meditation is like, it's a taboo word. Mm. I like to call it mindfulness because I think I do more mindfulness type, like, into my inner mind than you. Like, I don't know. That's what, for me, meditation is. I don't know. What is it for you?
I think meditation and mindfulness are kind of, it's kind of like UFC and MMA.
Yeah.
You know, UFC is a type of mixed martial arts.
Yes.
Mindfulness is the UFC of meditation. I think there can be different meditations.
Yes.
You can do, you know, is it
transcendental? Yeah,
it's a big word anyway. That's all we know.
I've tried learning that the last couple times and I keep fucking up. I've read it so many times. Like, that's how you do it.
And there's like
transcendental fucking.
Yeah, shit. Yeah. I think mindfulness is a type of meditation.
Okay.
Just like UFC is a type of mixed martial arts.
Okay, so big picture, like, well, what does it mean to you? You know, like, what does doing it? So you do it through an app, which, you know, explain it. Can you, it's retarded, but like, explain it to...
So... beginner.
Yes.
So I guess, why I do it is, if you think of a glass of water, and you think of there being dirt in the glass of water, okay?
Yeah.
And he's playing with his hat. He looks like a bloody Russian. So you've got a glass of water. You've got dirt swirling in it. Most of the time, people will wake up and that dirt will be swirling, okay? Meditation, after a certain point, will start to... If you liken the glass of water and the dirt to your mind, okay? The dirt is just all these like worries and anxieties you have in your head. And if you meditate...
And even, just to elaborate further, even thoughts. Like,
yeah, thoughts.
You know, like literally, like the sky is blue.
Yeah, literally, you
know? Yeah.
And that will, if you meditate, I think there's a threshold. It's different for everyone else, but I think it's after 15 minutes, you really start to get 100% of the benefits.
Say, for me, 10. Like you said, it's different for everyone.
Yeah. And it depends what your goal is. Like, with me now, it's more deliberate. You know, Calm has this option. It gives you a daily Calm. That's what it's called.
This is an app, is it?
Yeah. So, today's one was intention, you know?
Okay.
So, it's just aligning, you know, what's your intention for the day?
Yeah.
So, for me, it might have just been to do some notes for this podcast and whatever.
Yeah.
So, what it does is, you sit there for 10 minutes, you're going to plug in your headphones, and the girl's just going to talk you through it. But what so the KPI for me
of a good
meditation. So if you find your mind wandering, okay, and you notice that your mind's wandered, and you anchor it to the breath, and if you come back to the breath once in a meditation, I've succeeded.
I succeeded. Yeah, yeah. I agree. Because that's... Yeah, so then to explore meditation, what it is essentially quieting your mind through breathing, if that makes sense.
True, yeah. That's the simple answer.
Because you're focusing on breathing, which then removes you from focusing on anything else.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Describe the point where you go from focusing on breathing into, like, deep mind, you know? Where do you go? Like,
that's a good question.
Fucking nine.
Jesus, that is a good question. I think it's hard to explain that. I think you can only just do it by doing it. I remember the first time I did one. It was like a 20-minute one. I just literally turned off all the lights, sat in a chair, an armchair, and put in headphones, and just.
Uh-huh.
Literally, you will be amazed.
Remember even further back when we actually did one. You know, but you probably don't remember. It's just with Miss Sheen in.
Oh, I do. It is room 17.
Room 17. Yeah. Now that was the first time I ever experienced meditation. I think I have to owe it to her.
Yeah.
I think I might just send her a message and be like, "Thanks a million."
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. I remember just sitting beside you and we're just both pissing ourselves off.
That's so funny.
But then we kind of quieted down a wee bit and actually, it worked. That was quite...
Yeah.
So that's a layman's explanation for any listener on what meditation is, how to do it. Either download Headspace, and then you can get free 10 sessions on Headspace, or you can get Calm, which
and you get a few different free ones as well.
A few, yeah. So try it for just 10 minutes and
try it for a week, you know?
Literally. Yeah, 10 minutes a day. So just try it for a week. I think you have to do probably about 5 or 6 before you can start to feel the actual benefit out of it. We've been sidetracked a wee bit. So that's kind of my health wrap up, number 2. Health is and should always be number 1. Yeah, that was my lesson of 2016.
Yeah.
Number 3, shall you?
Yeah, okay. So this one, I wasn't sure if I wanted to bring this in or not, but I definitely do. And it was just, you know, recently I spoke to you about, well, I haven't really spoke to you about it, but it was like just before Christmas, a few weeks, and one of my buddies was in a car accident and he passed away. You know, today I was like, do I want to bring this in or not? Because, you know, I don't want to bring it down or anything. But I swear to God, nothing has opened my eyes more than this like accident.
Okay.
You know, it's this event has, I think, if you don't learn from anything like this, it's, I don't know, you just, it's crazy. I just think it's just made me realize how precious life is and like how short life is.
And like, he was what, the same age as you?
Yeah, so you know, I lived with him in final year. He was actually younger than me. He was a year younger than me. Yeah. And, you know, obviously it's your worst nightmare, but I think I can say that I've learned something from it. And it's literally people sit at jobs that they don't like.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they fucking complain. And they complain and they complain. And, you know, that was me. That was me, literally. Fucking every day I was sitting there, I was like, Jesus, you know, like, what am I doing here, you know?
Yeah.
And then it came to New Year's and I was just like, do you know what, I've had this idea in my head, you know, I wanted to run a boot camp.
Yeah.
So I'm like what, how much more motivation do I need, knowing that it could all be gone tomorrow?
Yeah.
Just to do something that I love. And that's when I was just like, you know what, fuck this. I'm quitting my job and I'm doing a boot camp. So now, like, I think it's just the, from 2016, the biggest thing I've learned is life is so precious and it could all be gone tomorrow. And just stop complaining. Yeah. If you don't like where you are, do something about it, you know? I'm just, you know, be your own hero. Like, you don't need
anyone else to be,
anyone else. And just, yeah, that's it. You know, just stop complaining. Stop whining and bitching. And do something about it, you know?
That's good.
Like,
I mean, that's fair, it. Fair play to for turning something so bad and negative into something so positive. Mm. But, I mean, you know, that sounds to me as it's anchored within you quite well. Yeah. And, like, fair play for turning the bad into the good, because that's quite good, so.
That's it, yeah.
That's nice. Cool. Do you want to take this very short period of time to talk about your new endeavour?
Your new endeavour, yeah, sure. So
this is not a pitch. This is not a marketing fucking campaign.
Yeah, so no, but if you do want to join a boot camp, it'll be happening 16th of January in Skull.
A boot camp, tell us about your...
It's 7 weeks.
And so how can they get into contact with you? Oh, how can they follow you?
So Train with Adam Fitness on Facebook. Or just, that's the main way, really.
Train with Adam.
Fitness, and it's a Facebook page, so just shoot me a message. We've got like 6 or 7 on board already.
And it's only been up a couple of days.
It's been up a couple of days, so we have like 2 weeks.
Right, and spaces, I presume, are limited.
Yeah, I'd say probably like 10 to 15. I would want more than 15. Probably 10 to 12 we're looking for.
So there you go, people.
Yeah.
Spaces are limited.
Get in touch. It'll be the best thing you've ever done.
Yeah, a fitness boot camp. It's a good way to just kind of... it's a good way of... being accountable for, you know, that people being like, oh, I'm going to get in shape for a new year, blah, blah, blah.
That's the thing. You know, people are like, oh, I'm going to go crazy for 7 weeks and then just revert back to square one. Whereas if you do this, you'll be in a community. You'll get added to a Facebook group where you can actually stay accountable to each other. But yeah, you know, if not, just have fun being the same old you and just wishing, you know.
Yeah.
That's
and,
it.
And go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Yeah, God. Yeah, nice. So...
Good point number 3. I like it. That's nice in your fucking marketing. Number 3 for myself, it kind of resonates a wee bit with yourself. Do something new. So,
ooh, I like that.
You know, when was the last time, or when was the last skill that you did that you felt really shit at?
Mm.
You know, like,
that was for me literally like 3 weeks ago. So yeah. I started jiu-jitsu, yeah. And you know what it did? It kept me honest. So what I mean by that is, you know, you think, well, I know, you know, you just,
I know, you know,
everyone thinks they know everything, you know, yeah. Until they try something that they're fucking useless at and they end up getting choked out like 10 times in the session.
Yeah.
That keeps you honest. That's just, you know, trying new things, like you said. I know golf, you know, we started golf this year.
And I'm still
I was, you know, I could hit a ball, but yeah. No, I couldn't. And
that's good.
So it's good to just basically just reiterate that you're always a student of life.
Exactly. And
never just a student.
I think we did mention it before in podcasts, is always aim to be that person that's the shittest at one thing in the room, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Be in a room where you're the worst, you know, every week if you can.
Yeah.
It's good. Now, so kind of to elaborate a wee bit on this, do something new. For me, it has involved giving up something I've loved. You know, so I've pretty much retired from sailing now.
Shit. That's massive for those of you who don't know Connor personally, but you should see his wall, you know, he's got like medals just hanging everywhere, and Jesus. You know, it's I'm trying to put it into perspective here, but you know, when I see Connor, he's always in sailing gear. You know, most of the time I see him, he's in sailing gear. So
this even probably, walking around the house.
Yeah, yeah. Probably a big step for you then.
Yeah, so I think what it's done for me is it's freed up so much time.
Mm.
You know, and it's allowed me to do stuff that I've kind of always been like, oh yeah, I'll do it later. Like, it's allowed me to just read more one thing. Like a Saturday and Sunday and a Friday evening when that would be just chewed up by sailing. And now the fools you know that actually know me, they're like, where have you been this weekend? Oh, yeah. Sailing, you know, like
driving down England.
Yeah, it's driving fucking all over the UK or Europe or, you know, someone. And yeah, it's just freed up so much time. So in order to do something new, that actually might mean you have to give up something that you love, if that makes sense. So, you know, what can you do, or how can you build in this new thing to allow you to do something new, go somewhere different, break routines, grow a fucking beard like myself.
Nice.
You know how much shit I've got over this beard? Honestly, yeah. And it may be the shittest beard, but do you know what it is? I don't give a fuck. You know? Like, yeah. This is my opportunity to do, you know, I think it's making you like comfortable with yourself. You know, like you don't really care. So yeah.
I like that.
That's my number third thing.
Nice.
Shall we wrap up with goal setting tips for 2017?
Yeah, definitely.
I've got a couple actionable steps.
Okay. Hit us up.
Hit you up. Make sure they are fully quantifiable.
Okay.
So I read the most fucking retarded thing I've ever seen on the web today.
Okay.
And it was like, this guy's like 100 things to do.
Okay.
Before, like, he wants to achieve. Not before he died, it wasn't his bucket list. And one of them was called maintain a high level of fitness. Like, how the fuck can you quantify that? You know, like, I looked at it and I just clicked out with the article straight away. I told him to go fuck himself, and like, that was it. I was ready to write him an email. You know, it's just retarded because people are looking at this article for inspiration and kind of, you know, like
takeaways.
Yeah, takeaways. And then his own goals aren't measurable or quantifiable and stuff like that. So, you know, maintain high level fitness, that's not a goal. You know, it should be like, you know, run this in a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. So then that way, you know, you've got measurable statistics, distances, and so on and so on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something as simple as, you know, doing SMART goals. You know, like when you're primary school that is like SMART.
When the fuck are we ever going to use this, you know, real life?
Yeah. Right?
You are now. Yeah.
And to elaborate on the SMART goal framework, I actually had to Google it because I totally forgot it.
Specific?
Specific, measurable. Attainable, realistic, and time-bound. Yeah, time-bound. So, like, bound within. So,
yeah.
Goal-setting tip number one, make sure they're fully quantifiable. Goal-setting tip numero dos, break them down into measurable milestones. So, you know, I think we've all got quite high goals up here in kind of, like, the stratosphere, you know, which we're all shooting for and aiming for to, like, kind of drive ourselves.
Yeah.
But what, you know, it's quite... there's quite a big disconnect between there and where you are now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If it's a good goal, there will be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So map out what the goal looks like in between, I find is quite useful. You know, like to get to X.
Can you give us an example?
So for me, I want to, it's related to fitness. So it's run 1.5 miles in 12 minutes 30, take a 1 minute breather and then sprint 1.5 miles in 10 minutes 30 again. And that kind of sounds like relatively easy, but did it on the treadmill the other day and like I was missing out by like a good 30 seconds on either, right. You know, or 20 seconds on either. And like it just showed that it just wasn't really that attainable.
Okay.
Just like that. So what I did was like I mapped out different ways. So like what I needed to improve was my sprinting fitness followed by my long endurance fitness. So I've kind of, you know, says I'm going to do this distance in this time. And then okay. I've increased like number of times per week that I go. So, you know, that's, so we ourselves are doing a 12-week framework for goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I've done is broken it in between into, right, I'm going to do, you know, two bleep tests a week and then this. So
yeah.
I've got like milestones in between each that will allow me, I hope, in week 12 to have completed that.
Yeah.
12 minute 30 in blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I like that.
So, yeah. 12-week, and kind of it comes back to that mapping thing again, doesn't it? You know, like map it out. What does it actually look like? You know, what's that thing Tim Ferriss does? Map it out if it was easy, or what would it look like if it was?
Oh, if it was easy, yeah.
If it was easy, yeah.
So if your solution is not does not seem simple, you probably don't have the right solution. You know,
yeah,
that's what he was saying as well.
Cool. Number three, acceptance. Never set goals that you know you're not willing to invest time in. So this was, I think this is kind of true for me, like September, October time, where I was kind of, I had one goal to like achieve an X level in the gym, but I was doing so much work outside it that I was kind of beating myself up a little bit that I wasn't achieving that in the gym when I had never really invested in it. You know, so I didn't actually know that I was going to go and achieve that because I hadn't invested in it. So I was kicking myself up, but it's like me now kicking myself up that I didn't make €10,000 last week when, you know.
It wasn't your intention to.
It wasn't my fucking intention to, you know. So like people right now are probably like, oh, like I want to get fit for New Year, and they're probably beating themselves up that they've been eating shit over the past Christmas period.
Yeah.
But like, if you don't have a fucking goal that actually makes you achieve that, then what's the point in beating yourself up?
Yeah, a good one is just simply writing it down.
Yeah.
Like, just writing down a goal.
Yeah.
People, you know, that's the first step in getting your goal from your mind into reality is putting pen to paper.
Yeah, I fully agree.
Cool.
Number four, map your blockers. What will stop you from achieving your goal, or you know, so stuff for me that really fucks with the stuff that I'm trying to achieve is like events, parties, holidays, you know, day trips away or even night trips away where you're kind of away from your normal setting or
routine. Yeah,
you know, that really fucks with me. You know, if I go spend a weekend away, then like I'm away from a gym and stuff like that, you know, so it obviously messes with my you know, fitness goals, and then it probably messes with my like kind of big picture goals as well. So I can do work and stuff like that. So how can you minimize that? You know.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest block for people is when trying to reach their fitness goals? Let's say getting to the gym. What's the biggest blocker?
Comfort.
Yeah.
So, I think being lazy, being like kind of wrapped up in comfort at home, or like tiredness, you know, so like it's kind of like that, like it's easy to say no,
yeah,
it's hard to say yes,
yeah,
you know, like getting out of your bed to go to the gym, that's hard, staying in your bed, that's easy,
yeah, you know, I think it ties back, sorry to interrupt, people aren't willing to go because they feel that they won't see results,
yeah,
from, I think they're impatient, that's basically it. And that ties back to one of my last points is for to smash your goals, you have to think long term.
Yeah.
People are just so caught up with, oh, I want to do 3 months gymming really hard and just be fucking massive look and, insane.
Yeah,
you know?
Training, six pack and
newsflash, it doesn't work that way, you know.
Yeah.
You have to be you know, Jocko Willink has this quote, discipline equals freedom. Like, why should you see the same results as someone that's been gymming for a year, day in, day out, for an hour, Monday to Friday, you know? You got to be patient. You've got to think long term. And like I said, it's everyone thinks that getting to your goal is like just a straight shoot hour, but it's not. You know, you have like zigzags. You're going to go, you're going to have troughs and peaks. But the biggest thing to just say to yourself is, okay, let's start again. Let's go again, you know?
That's actually good, because that rolls on to my fifth point. And allow yourself a small amount of leeway to achieve your goals.
Okay.
You know, like, so like you're saying, it's going to be zigzagging. Mm. So that, as opposed to beating yourself up about it, you know, allow yourself that small... You know, life's not easy. Life's not perfect, you know? Shit happens, and it can sidetrack you at times.
Definitely.
And so building yourself a little bit of leeway into it. So I've just got a point. If it's a 30-day goal... give yourself a 2-day respite for an emergency. You know, like, just say, all right, out of this, I want to achieve this 30-day goal. I'm going to allow myself 2 days that if I have to go to the doctors, then I can take 1 day out, you know, or, you know, have that wee little bit. Now, don't be a lazy shit, but, oh, I can't be fucked. That's, I'm going to use 1 of my days for that. Like, have it for a real reason, you know, and like you said, it's a zigzag.
Yeah, I like that.
So,
yeah. I think kind of ties back
I just shat over all your...
No, not at all. That was it. Yeah, it's just tying back to, you know, I have 12-week goals set out, and I think on week 5, and one of the goals was just to hit like 115 kg squat. I was doing really well up until about 2 weeks ago. I think it was up to like 100. The numbers are irrelevant. It's just...
You were on your way to
the goal. I was on my way to the goal. What happens? The barbell in the gym breaks. So
the bar, yeah.
So I don't have a barbell to squat anymore. So that's completely thrown out, that out of the window. I can squat, but it'll be in the Smith machine. It's not as effective.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, I can keep making these excuses, but the point of it is just to say that, you know, you have ups and downs. Have I stopped gymming completely? No. I'm doing HIIT sessions, you know, every morning just to keep me going. I realize that it might take a week or two to get back into it. But, you know, it's not going to stop me from pursuing the goal. And
get the hex bar out and...
Exactly. Jesus. Have that in the back, yeah. That'll be fun. But, yeah, so be patient. And get, like Han says, don't be too hard on yourself. Realize that you're going to have ups and downs. And just get back at it. Get after it, you know.
Yeah. Nice. So that wraps up my goal setting tips for 2017.
Yeah, I think
actionable steps. Any further points of discussion, Adam?
Further points of discussion.
I've wrapped up all my notes.
Yeah, I think I have as well.
I think I think we've created some valuable gems for some people to listen. Hopefully, just one of you takes something away. Yeah,
exactly. If one person takes something from this, we've succeeded.
Yeah, and I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, because it'll probably be in there 2 fucking months before the game comes out. Yeah. So
we appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Ciao.